Well, good evening to you. I don't know about you, but I think the guy deserves a medal for having to go through all those announcements. I mean, that was, and to try to make it a little bit interesting even. So I don't know if you knew this. Maybe a surprise to some of you, but that's my brother, that guy Chris. That's why we have the same last name, Cullen. So, but I'm kind of mad at him at the moment, okay? We're not on good terms because I knew I was going to be here this Sunday. So Stuart preached in Fountain this morning, and I was here, and so we did a little swap, but so I was like, hey, are you going to play the piano today? He said, the piano's not even on the stage. I was like, what are you talking about? I love when he plays the piano. And so I was like, what are you doing, man? The piano's the greatest thing. And he's like, well, the Christmas songs, none of the songs that we're doing have the piano in them. I was like, you picked the songs. What do you think? Come on. And so I'm mad at him because I love hearing him play the piano, and I don't get to hear that. But I'm excited because this Friday night, actually, I do get to hear him play. He's going to be doing a concert, actually, down over by the City Auditorium. They've got a theater right there close called the Lon Chaney Theater, and that's this Friday night at 7 o'clock. And so I'm going to be there. I invite you also to come out. We'll support our worship pastor and enjoy some nice music. It won't just be him. He'll be playing the piano. He'll have a cello with him and some other stuff, and so it's going to be really nice. So I invite you to come out. It's this Friday, like I said, the 12th. So how am I going to remember that? Well, 12 days of Christmas, right? And so when you get to 12, you'll know I have something to do tonight at 7 o'clock over there at the Chaney Theater downtown. So $5 at the door, something like that. But you'll enjoy that. Hopefully you'll join me on Friday night to hear Chris play his piano a little bit. Hey, will you pray with me as we jump in tonight? Lord, I thank you for a chance to gather. Lord, I thank you for what you've done all over the city already this morning as your bride, the church, gathered. Lots of different places, Lord, First Pres and Calvary Worship and Pikes Peak and Vanguard and New Life and Woodman Valley and Calvary Chapel and Springs Community, Mountain Springs. Lord, so many different churches, our Fountain Campus. Lord, I thank you for your body coming together. Lord, I just pray that as your people have been challenged and encouraged, Lord, that we would be the light that you've called us to be. That we would take the great news that we've heard, the things that we've been encouraged with, and spread those. Lord, tonight as we get together, Lord, we say we need you. And we just ask for your Holy Spirit have your way. Have your way in our hearts and our minds tonight as we gather. We thank you that you are here. You were here before we came in. You were before the lights were turned on or the air. You are always here, and we thank you that we have a chance to encounter you. So I pray that you'll speak to us tonight. We need to hear from you. And I thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, the message title tonight is, It's Christmas, So What? It's Christmas, So What? And I don't know about you, but it seems like some people have a Christmas gear. And they just kind of slip it into Christmas gear, and I know what to do. I know how to act. You know, we have so many crazy things that happen. It's just all like piled in. You got these parties and these different meals and gatherings, and maybe you're traveling, you know, and so it's just a lot of stuff packed in, and probably some laughter. You'll probably have some laughter in the next few days, and maybe some tears, maybe some memories. Maybe you're able to enjoy the remembrance service we had this afternoon. But you know, there's a lot of emotion, a lot of things that go on around this time of year, and you know, I've even heard some people say that to make it through all the craziness of Christmas, they actually need medication. They have to do some special medicine to be able to get themselves in the mode to handle just the volume of all that happens. And so tonight, as we're looking at this, I hope that maybe you'll think differently about this Christmas season and not just hit copy paste from last year, but instead try to realize, you know what, I believe God has something new. So I have a couple just of practical things I want to encourage you with tonight as we look at what this Christmas season looks like. So the first thing, you have some notes here, and so you can fill in the blanks in that little note page there. But the first thing here about Christmas, this is a chance to appreciate and encourage. So write both of those in. It's a chance to appreciate and encourage loved ones and friends. So let's talk about this appreciation thing first. You know, there are some who were with us last Christmas who are not with us this Christmas. And most likely, if history is any teacher, there are some who are with us this Christmas who won't be with us next Christmas. And so we really need to appreciate each other. You know, sometimes we take each other for granted. And so I want to encourage you, I want to encourage all of us to appreciate the people that you're going to get to be around. Make the most of the time that you have. Don't wish it away. Don't just bark at 1 o'clock. I can't wait till this is over. And you know, it's hard sometimes because, you know, sometimes we're around those people during the Christmas season, right? And I think we all have those people that we're going to be around, that we have to be around every year. And it's like, oh, it's just going to be awkward. Maybe it's the uncle or the aunt or the boyfriend of that one cousin or whatever. But there's that one person or two people or whatever, you're just like, oh, it's just awkward. Maybe you've already had some of that. Have any of you been in some environments already where it's been awkward? Okay, nobody's raised their hand, but it's coming. And you know it's coming, right? And so for these people, it's like the best word maybe to describe them, as loving as we want to be, bless their hearts, which makes it all okay, right? Is that they're foolish. They're just foolish people. I mean, you told them what they should do last year, right? You gave them all that great advice, and they didn't do it because they're not going to do it. They're doing their own crazy thing. And so as you're around these people, there's going to be this awkward moment. You're like, oh, I don't want to be around them. But I want to come back to this idea of appreciating, but not only appreciating, encouraging. Ephesians chapter 4, if you would turn there. We've covered this verse just recently. As we've walked through the book of Ephesians over the last few weeks. And we're going to come back to it now here for just a second. But I want us to think about this idea of encouraging the people that we're going to be around. Because listen, that moment's coming. You're going to be around somebody, and it's going to be awkward. And so I want you to be thinking now, okay? Be preparing yourself now for how you're going to react in that situation. How will you handle yourself? What will you say? So Ephesians 4:29. So it says this, do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths. You know, when we're in those situations, maybe somebody new's at the table and we want to try to be that cool person. We want to say something that's entertaining or be the funny person. And so we have these moments where we're trying to put on a show, frankly. Right? Sometimes we might slip over into things that aren't helpful. So it says, don't let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. Hey, I just want to encourage you because it's possible that something you would say in the next few days to someone that you're around could change their life. And it may not be advice. It may not be you telling them how they should live. Maybe you would just listen, and by the Holy Spirit, as you ask Him to help you in these weird moments, that you would ask Him to help you to be listening to their heart. What's really going on inside of them? And what can I say to encourage and to help them on their journey? And it could be that you would say something that would encourage them to help them, and it would change their life. And while we're on this topic, I want to just kind of talk about something else too. You know, maybe some of you are really dreading that one person that you know you're going to have to be around. You know, in the craziness of life, sometimes families get shattered. But then the law says we have to be together on Christmas. You know, we have to meet up. You know, we have to see each other. And so maybe you're dreading. Maybe there's a wound in your past from someone. And you know you're going to see them, and so you're dreading it, and you don't look forward to it at all. And so just real quick, I want us to all understand that everybody makes mistakes, right? Everybody makes mistakes. And so this person made a mistake. And it hurt you, right? And that's on them. But if you carry bitterness and you hang on to that, that's on you. And if you would let it go, if you would forgive them, then you could see them in a whole new way this Christmas. You could enjoy the time in a whole new way. I heard a guy on the radio, and he was talking about the power of forgiveness. And he said, man, we need to do this. And so write it out. I forgive blank for blank. And just seal it. Do it. Be done. And you may be able to actually appreciate that person for the first time in decades. To encourage that person instead of trying to shy away from them. That moment's coming. And so this is a chance for us this Christmas to appreciate and encourage. And I hope you'll do that. Okay, second thing. This is also a chance for us to give and receive. You can write those in. A chance to give and receive and survive it. Have you ever noticed that somehow we survive all this crazy gift giving that we do at Christmas time? We all spend more than we have. We all do things that we shouldn't do necessarily as far as giving all these gifts, and then we recover. I'm really not sure how it works, but it's an amazing thing. You know, they say that spending And you look at the charts, the graphs of how much people spend as far as the economy and what it does. But this last quarter, especially November and December, the amount of money spent is out of control. I actually worked with a guy who managed a grocery store. And so he said even in the grocery store, the money that came in, the amount of sales they had during December were just crazy compared to the rest of the year, especially January, right? And I was like, okay, so why is a grocery store? He's like, well, think about it. All the parties and all the food. I was like, yes, thank you, Lord, for the food, yes. And so, yeah, I mean, seriously, people, they're always making something special, that, you know, grandma's recipe, I'm going to make it. And so they're buying all the stuff, even the grocery store. But then like January, you know, everybody's like, okay, New Year's resolution, I'm going to slim down, lose 75 pounds, whatever it may be, you know. And so, the only thing that goes up in January is gym memberships, right? It's like, okay, I'm going to turn over a new leaf. But seriously, we spend a crazy amount of money in November and December. The estimate of what we're going to spend on gift giving is $781 billion with a B dollars. And some of you have already been busy working on that, right? Maybe since May, you've been looking for that perfect Christmas present. But Christmas proves that we can do more than we thought and that we will find a way for the things that we value. You have that person, you want to buy that special gift, and you're like, okay, I don't know, let's just do it. And you make it happen, and you recover. Now, I don't know if any of you are still trying to pay off Christmas 2013. Maybe, hopefully not. Maybe you didn't go that crazy. I'm not saying it's good for us to do that, but I'm just saying it proves we can. And how does it typically work? A lot of times people, they will, they'll just spend more than they have, put it on a card or whatever, and then they say no for the next few months to themselves for some things, right? So January, February, March, depending on how bad it was, you say no to some things and you recover. And it works, right? You say yes to some things and then you say no for a while. And here's what's crazy. Here's what this proves to us. It's possible to do this. And the cool thing is we could switch it. We could actually say no first and save. I know that word is novel to a lot of people, right? But it's this idea of margin, saying no to some things that I really would like, say no because I want something else instead. And so you can do this, and Christmas proves that it's possible. Luke 6:38, Jesus is talking about this idea of giving. So in Luke chapter 6, he just goes out and he says, it's amazing, give and it will be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, it'll be poured into your lap. For the same measure you use, it will be measured to you. And this idea of giving is something that we grow into. And some of you have seen this in your own lives as you say, you know what, I'm gonna give in an extravagant way. And we end up being blessed. There's a huge joy in giving. And that's one of the funnest things at Christmas is watching someone open a package that you gave and was just the right present. You're like, yes. And we enjoy that. And so giving and receiving, it's a great chance for us to do this. But so, you know, sometimes we can still, even in the process, you know, you're buying a gift, you're trying to get everything together, and you may find that your attitude's not really that great, right? So here's a question you can ask yourself. Here's a question. Why am I giving this? As you're preparing that gift, why am I giving this? And then your perspective can be lifted above the materialism and begin to appreciate and think about that person for whom the gift is going to be given. Think about the reason that you care about them, and all of a sudden it'll take you to a new level. Or maybe even you'll want to change the gift because this isn't the best thing for them. But why? Ask yourself, why am I giving this? Or another question is, who else has a need that I can meet? Who else has a need that I can meet? And we get in this mode of actually helping people and giving, not just trying to grab more for ourselves. You know, whenever we talk about this idea of giving, we almost always come back to the idea of the wise men and the extravagant gifts they gave. You know what? I don't think they had it in their plans to leave home for maybe a couple of years to travel from the Far East over to see this new king so they could give these expensive gifts. But for them, it was a joy. It was an honor because they wanted to come and see the king. So how are our hearts as we look at this idea of giving, and especially as we think about the Lord in this season? So it's not just giving, but it's also receiving. You know, for all of these gifts to be exchanged, somebody has to receive them, right? And maybe you'll receive some gifts. You know, they say the average expectation is 13 gifts. How many of you are like, I got to have 14, you know? But 13 gifts is what people on the average want. Some kids just want just two gifts, their front teeth, right? No, I'm kidding. Okay, so, but really, so for this to happen, somebody has to receive the gift as well. And so you might be in a spot where, you know, no, I don't want anything, but I just want to encourage you. When somebody wants to give you something, two words for you. Thank you. All right, we're going to practice. Ready? One, two, three, say those. Thank you. Okay, you're ready. You're in the spirit, right? So we give and we receive. Sometimes we're too proud, you know, but be humble. You know, whenever we receive something, it's saying, okay, I appreciate that you've thought of me. So we say thank you. It's a chance to give and receive. Another thing about Christmas, it's a chance to wander. Not with an A, wander, but wonder with an O. It's a chance to wonder, like kids. A few weeks ago, I had a really vivid dream, and so in this dream, it was early in the morning, and I was working in some kind of warehouse. I don't know why. I had an office in a warehouse. And so I finished what I was doing, and I was going to go get breakfast or do something. I don't remember. So I leave, and I walk out, and I'm in the parking lot, and I'm walking toward the car, and then I notice that they have roped off a section of the parking lot for a firework show. I'm like, yes, fireworks. And it's going to be a good one, too. I can tell because it's huge. It's all spread. They have those massive, like, I don't know how big they really are, but these in my dream were huge. And man, this is going to be a good firework show. So I was like, that'll be cool. I mean, there's nobody out. It's like just early morning. So I'm walking over to the car, and I'm about to get in, and all of a sudden I hear the music starts. And you know that any really good fireworks show has music going with it, right? It's all synced up. And so the music starts, and I don't see anybody else, but I realize, hey, they're going to do it anyway, and I get to watch this. And so I get in my car, and I just drive away. No way! It's a fireworks show! I'm stopping everything to see this fireworks show, because fireworks shows are cool, right? I don't know about y'all. You may not like fireworks shows. I love fireworks shows. I can tell you, so the last fireworks show that I was actually had a chance to be a part of, there was something more important than the fireworks show. And so we were looking around for this lost item. Won't go into what that was. But we were trying to find this one thing that we couldn't find at the fireworks shows. It was pitch dark. And so the fireworks were going off. And so whenever the fireworks would go up and they would explode and the whole sky was lit up and you'd just be able to see people. And you know what the people said when they saw that? Let me hear it. That's it. I mean, everybody was like, oh, whoa, right? And it wasn't just the kids. It was the adults, too. They were like, whoa, you know, because it's dark, right? Nobody can see me. So I can say, whoa. But Christmas is a chance for us to wonder. Okay, so in my dream, I don't think I finished how the dream went, did I? So finally, I come back, and so I'm like, okay, I'm going to watch this show. I don't get in the car. I'm going to watch this show. So the music's going, and I woke up. That was it. So sorry, I probably should have finished that while I go. But no, it's so sad because it was a chance. I was excited about it. I was excited about getting to enjoy the wow moment. And listen, you have some wow moments ahead of you. Over the next few weeks, you're going to see some cool stuff, some great programs. Some people are going to sing and they're good. They're going to play instruments and they're good. It's a chance for you to clap and say bravo. You're going to drive by some amazing light decoration setups. I don't know how those people do it. Keep the lines straight and stuff. I don't know how they do it. So I say whoa to that, right? And you have a chance to say whoa as well. And you're going to be in some environments where people want you to kind of engage. Just yesterday, I was at one of these 6,000 Christmas things that we go to during December. So I'm sitting there, and we're watching these people sing and so on, and they came to a part of the show where they wanted us to participate, right? I'm like, oh, no. Look, we paid for you to sing, all right? Just take it. But then I remember, no, this is a chance to wonder. So I'm like, oh, yeah. So I got into it, you know? And I want to encourage you, get into it. Let yourself go. Smile. Laugh. You have 11 more months to be bah humbug, right? But just enjoy Christmas. Seriously, smiling is good for you. I want you to try it real quick. Just try it. Let me see. Can everybody smile? Okay. See, doesn't that feel better? This whole month's going to be amazing, right? This is a chance to wonder. In Psalm chapter 8, we have a really cool, just a moment where he's having this wonder type experience. And so Psalm chapter 8, verse 3 and 4, when I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have set in place, what is mankind that you are mindful of them and human beings that you care for them? And he's talking about the stars. He's talking about just saying wow at what God has done. Here's the funny thing. Those stars are there every single night. But we just don't stop and look. We don't stop and enjoy. We don't stop and wonder enough. So I want to encourage you this Christmas, wonder. Get in and just be excited. Let yourself be amazed at what you see around you. And in those moments, say, whoa. Let your kids hear you. Whoa, look at that. Christmas is a chance to wonder. The fourth thing, Christmas is a chance to worship. Christmas is a chance to worship. Several weeks ago, I had a really cool opportunity to travel over to the country of Turkey. And so we have some missionaries that we support there, the Mirabellas, the Gertens, and some others. But I got to see those two and see the areas where they serve. And it was so neat to see them in their environment, their element. But then we got on an airplane, and we flew over to southeastern Turkey to do some work there. Now, I don't know if you are familiar with geography very much, if you understand that part of the world. But southeastern Turkey is really close to two other countries. One of them is called Syria. One of them is called Iraq. And those have a lot of crazy things happening in them right now. In fact, the reason we were there was to work with some refugees who had been chased out by ISIS. Okay, and so I was with Dr. Bob Meyer, who's a dentist. Another dentist was with us. And so we were going in, and they were going to help work on the teeth. And I was going to just cheer for them, you know, talk about Jesus, right, and pray for people. So really cool experience. In fact, there's a picture here of some of the kids that we got to hang out with. So these are actually the Yazidi people. And so I don't know if you've heard in the news about the Yazidi people who the ISIS guys were trying to just wipe off the planet, right? So they escaped. A lot of them escaped up into Turkey, and they're in these refugee camps. And so we were there, and this is so an incredible little beautiful group of kids. This is the number one team, right? We're the number one team, and so we were just being loud and proud. So working with them, but just amazing people. You know, we learned a lot about them. We heard that they were Satan worshipers. That turns out not to be true. They don't actually worship Satan, but you know, their story is, you know, they heard about this angel who fell from heaven, you know, with Satan and all the other demons. He fell from heaven, but then he realized that was a big mistake, right? And he goes back and he says, I'm sorry. And so God then brings him back and reinstates him as an angel. And so the Yazidi people think that was so cool that he's worthy of worship. So they worship this angel. Now, that's impressive, but still, what about the guy who put him back? You know, what about the God who reinstated him? Maybe we should worship him. But anyway, but it makes sense, you know, if somebody's really that amazing, then maybe they deserve some props, okay? And you hear about people who worship things like the sun, right? And so if there was a being that lived or that, you know, the sun was this being, that would be pretty impressive. And maybe some props would be due, some respect would be due this individual, because the sun is amazing, okay, in case you haven't, it's hot, it's very, very hot, and it's huge, and we need the sun, right, and so that's why people have worshipped it. It's a very important piece of our lives, and so they're impressed with the sun, and so they worship it, and people worship all kinds of things. They worship water, and people worship trees, and they worship the moon, and anything basically that they're impressed with, then they sometimes choose to worship. And so I wonder about us, by the way. You know, what are the things that we're worshiping because we're so impressed with it that we end up worshiping it? We might not even realize it's an idol for us. But these guys, the Yazidi people, have chosen to worship this angel. And again, I just think about, what about the one who created the angels and created the sun and literally spoke the universe into existence? What about him? Should we be impressed with him? Should we worship him? And the reality is, yes, we should worship God, even if he didn't care about us, God is still worthy of our worship. He's that amazing. He's that huge. He's that awesome. He's the only thing worthy of worship, even if he didn't care about us. But the great news is, he does. He does care about us. Even though he knew that we would rebel against him, we would go our own way, he had a plan. And that plan involved a baby being born. This is what we celebrate at Christmas. You see, I try to imagine what it was like. What it was like in heaven when all this was beginning to go down. And so you have Jesus who is in heaven. And I don't know if you've read scripture or if you've seen stories, but in heaven, it's a constant party worshiping and celebrating how amazing God is. Okay? because he's that awesome. In fact, in Revelation, it says that they're constantly saying, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty who was and is to come. And so they're always worshiping him. So that's where Jesus was. And he's there in the middle of all that praise and all that worship. And then finally, God says, okay, Jesus, you're going to go to earth. And the angels are like, what? Jesus is leaving heaven? He's going to earth? Oh, it's a rescue mission. What a great idea. God, you're brilliant. And so he's like, yes. So Jesus lays aside his glory. He sets it aside. And he's conceived in a woman on earth. And the angels are just going crazy. Like, oh, I can't believe this. Jesus is a baby. Whoa. We want to go sing for him. Because they sing for him all the time, right? We want to go sing for him. It's like, no. You can't go sing for him. Okay? He's developing inside his mom. He's going to scare them all. Okay, no. Please. Just leave him alone. Don't go sing for him. They need some peace and quiet. And so 9 months go by, and the angels are like, I can't believe he's growing. Look at him. Wow, Jesus. And so finally, he's born in Bethlehem. And the angels, they can't help themselves. They're like, Father, we need to go sing. He's used to hearing us sing all the time. He misses us. We miss him. Can we please go sing? It's like, no, baby's got to have their rest, okay? Leave him alone, but we got to sing. Okay, go sing for the shepherds. Go sing for the shepherds. And so we see in Luke chapter 2 where the angels are just, they're so excited, and they're saying, glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth, peace to those on whom his favor rests. The angels are going crazy because you know what? They knew who he is. Nobody else understood. Nobody on earth understood what was going on. God had come to earth because he loves us so much. And this Christmas is a chance for us to maybe take a note or a cue from the angels and appreciate and worship God on a whole new level because of what he's done in sending Jesus to us. It's an amazing gift. Can you see it? Can you worship in a new way this Christmas? A couple of weeks ago, really, really cool experience. And so after the service was over there in Fountain, a guy comes up to me and he says, church isn't so bad. I was like, you're a cool guy. You know, thank you. I'm glad to hear you enjoyed it, right? And so tell me what you mean. What's going on? He's like, well, this is my first time. I'm like, oh, man, I'm so glad you're first time with us. He said, no, this is my first time ever. I was like, whoa, was this America? Your first time ever in church? He's like, yeah. I was like, wow. And I was trying to not be too, like, dumbfounded. Okay, cool. Well, tell me about yourself, you know. But this is his first time ever in church 2 weeks ago, right here. And so I was like, that's really, really cool. And so the next week, last Sunday, we were doing Ephesians stuff. And I realized, you know, Ephesians is for believers. You know, we had a lot of kids in the room, and that was exciting. So I was like, you know, Ephesians is for believers, but I just want to take a second and talk about what it means to come to Christ. And some of you haven't done that yet. I want you to know you can, right? And so we use kind of a little simple phrase sometime with kids. It's called the ABCs of becoming a believer. And you have to admit that you're a sinner, that you need God's forgiveness. And then you believe that God loves us, and he sent his son Jesus to die for us and to pay the price for our sin. And then the C is that we confess. We say, hey, I'm not about me. I'm not about kingdom me anymore. I'm about God, Jesus, I'm going to follow Jesus. So I just kind of went through that. And I said, you know, if you're a child, I encourage you to talk to your parents about this idea of becoming a Christian and following Jesus. If you're an adult, I encourage you to make that step, make the decision. And maybe you want to check the box on your community card that says trusting Christ for the first time. And so I encourage you to do that. We'll be happy to talk with you and walk through that with you. And so it was so cool. After the service was over, we got the community cards back. And this guy was back, and he had checked the box trusting Christ for the first time. I was like, oh my goodness, thank you, Lord. So amazing. So I was like, hey, I'm gonna get with him, and we'll talk this out, and I'm gonna learn more about what's going on. And so I called, and we set up a chance to eat lunch, and that was supposed to be on Thursday. And so I go, and I'm there at the place where we're gonna eat lunch together. And so I'm sitting there waiting for him, and I get a phone call. And it's this guy, and he says, my truck won't start. I'm not gonna be able to make it. I was like, oh, no. I know what's happening here. This is spiritual warfare. I'm not gonna give up easy here. And so, hey, I can come to you. I can help you get your truck started, whatever. He's like, I don't know. Let me work on it for a while. And long story short, it didn't work out. But we talked on the phone for a while later in the afternoon. And so we're talking on the phone. And this guy, I mean, it's just so cool because everything's new to him. This whole God and relationship, it's all new. And so he was asking me. We went from 0 to 100. He's asking me these big questions like, whoa. But it was cool. We were just talking for a while. And, you know, I was debating. Do I cross the line and begin to talk about his relationship with God? Or do I just kind of have a friendship to start with? And you have to listen to the Holy Spirit, because sometimes if you push too hard, you'll push people off. And so, but I felt like it was okay. And so I had the community card. I was like, man, one of the things I wanted to meet with you about was just this cool stuff that you're doing on your community card here. You said that you want to trust Christ and be baptized. And that's cool. So tell me what you're thinking. So he's like, well, you know, I don't know. For a long time, I've known there was a God. And so we talked some more, and I just went through the gospel really clearly with him. Hey, look, this is what has happened. And so I got finished kind of walking through it as best I knew how. And I was like, so what do you think? He said, sounds good, but I've got some stuff in my past. And I don't know if that's going to be okay or not. I told him, I have great news for you. The blood of Jesus covers everything. And that guy said, I'm in. I'm going to follow Jesus. And he's going to have a different Christmas this year. He's going to understand real Christmas because he's begun a relationship with God through Jesus Christ. And maybe that's one or two or six or seven of you tonight. And you'd say, you know what? I want that. I've been pushing it off. But tonight's the night. I want to begin the relationship. Or maybe you've already begun the relationship, but man, for some reason, it's just gotten old. And you've forgotten the power of what happened when God sent Jesus as our Savior. And so can you experience Christmas in a new way this year? Can you worship with a new level, a new depth this year? Because that's what Christmas is really about, a chance to worship God. Can we do that? Can we see Jesus for who he is and understand the love of God a little bit more? It's so huge. But can we just understand a little bit more and enjoy it this Christmas? Will you bow your heads and close your eyes? Father, I just want to say forgive us for wondering sometimes at the wrong things. And yes, it's fun and it's good, for it's healthy for us to say, wow. But Father, sometimes we get so impressed with other things that we fail to bow before you and say, wow, to the God of the universe who loves us and sent his son Jesus as our Savior. So I ask for forgiveness, Lord, for us being impressed with other things more than with you. Lord, I pray that you'll help us this Christmas to worship you at a whole new level. Like this new brother of mine, I pray that we will just be amazed at your love for us and your sacrifice and Jesus, that you came to earth out of obedience and out of love. So Holy Spirit, I pray that you'll open our eyes, take away the blinders and the chains that keep us from experiencing you at the level you want us to know you and walk with you. And I pray that this Christmas, there'll be a breakthrough in each one of our lives as we walk with you, have a relationship with you. And I pray this in the powerful name of our Savior, our hero, Jesus. Amen.